Cain makes this. There was an American team over in the summer, and Cain got to them before I did. And so they said, I didn't know Cain was the pastor of Liberty Church. It was funnier than that, believe me. And, but listen, I was due to speak tonight, but it's my absolute passion to release people into some of their gifts and what God has for their life. And so I give my sermon over to Cain. He's going to deliver the one that I gave him. Only messing. He wrote this. I've read over it because that's what I do. And we're in for a three. And he's only going to take about 10 minutes. Is that right, Cain? And are you sure?
I thought that was original to me.
But guys, can I just say, like all of our kids and our young people, like I'm really proud of them, but I'm really proud of this young man. And like, just in the summer, there was a lot of kids that went from Drimna to our summer camp, and they were just kids from Drimna. And this young man told them his story and what God means to him and how God came into his life. And those young men were absolutely transformed from that moment on, the way they see in life, the way they express themselves on camp. And Cain, I want to say, I said to you privately, I'm very proud of you, and I want to say it in front of our people. And guys, will you give up a round of applause for Cain?
Cheers, lads. Thanks very much. So this is my first time preaching on here. I've done it a few times with the youth and stuff, so I just want to thank you. But I'm not going to take too much of time. I think we've gone over, so I'm just going to try and run through this as quick as I can. But before I do that, I'm going to pray. You know, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're all here tonight. You know, there's been so many stuff going on with us lately and with different individuals, but look where we are now, Lord. And throughout our whole life, we're here, and we just want to give you thanks, Lord. Father, I'm your servant. I'm here just for you, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, will you just speak through me, Lord? Lord, speak only your words, Lord, and nothing that comes out of my mouth but from my own. And Lord, this will just bless your people. Holy Spirit, just come over me and just do your thing through me. Okay, so, you know, we all celebrate Christmas, yeah? And I'm not doing something there, I don't know what I did. But as Christians, we celebrate, you know, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, who came, he sacrificed himself for us, you know, that we may be called into to be sons and daughters of heaven. And, you know, that's great and that's amazing. You know, and a lot of times, you know, at Christmas time, you know, we thank Jesus, but we always talk of the Nativity and the story of the Nativity, and that's what a lot of sermons are based around. But, you know, I don't want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about something greater, you know. And not something greater, but something that was far back beforehand. You know, there was a promise made, there was a promise fulfilled on that Nativity. But the promise goes way back. You know, it doesn't start with the birth of Jesus, but the birth of Adam. You know, it says in Genesis 1:26, then God says, let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God made mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and every living creature on the ground. You know, there's 2 points I just want to make out there. It says, let us make mankind. Okay, he never said, let me. He said, let us. And it's only in the New Testament we realize that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make mankind in his own image. And then God said, subdue. You know, he told us as human beings, as Adam and Eve, he told them to subdue the earth, to rule over it, to point and to bring in control. You know, he gave mankind all authority. Now, that's amazing. So God creates Adam and Eve. He tells them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But then the serpent came in, Satan came in, and deceived Adam and Eve into eating from the tree. So it was like that their authority was taken away from them. You know, when they ate from this tree, they gave the serpent the authority. They gave them all the rights that they had. You know, I used to think this was punishment. You know, God threw them out of the Eden, and he put like angels with flaming swords down to protect this place. And I always said that was punishment for what they did. But you know, when Noel, and this is what I put in my sermon, but when Noel looked over it, you know, he shed light on it for me. It wasn't punishment, but it was protection. You know, when they ate from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, they sinned. So if they ate from the tree of life after that, they would have been in that state of eternity, in a simple state for eternity. So God actually protected them by taking them out. Now, this is just the foundation for what's going on here. But you know, isn't that the amazing love of the Father? You know, what we think is punishment isn't. But you know what God did after they were taken out? God, it says this, the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. So in this, it was skin from an animal. So this must have been the fourth sacrifice in the Bible. The fourth sacrifice was to clothe these people. Now, he still provided for them. God sacrificed an animal to save them. You know, this shows that the Father provided for us since day one. Now, even in their rebellion and betrayal, God still provided for them. You know, Adam sinned and was still forgiven. And can I say this, guys? I know I'm trying to rush through this, but God is the same in the New Testament as he is in the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, so that means his promises are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, God promised us something. So now let's move on to David, a man after God's own heart, right? God made a promise to David. God told the prophet Nathan to say this to David: when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up to you an offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one to build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. Now, I just want to skip to John 1:12. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men. Flogging is inflicted by human hands. But my love, here's the promise, lads, my love will never be taken away from him. As I took it away from Saul, who I removed before you, your house and your kingdom will be here, will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That's a promise. His throne will be established forever. You know, my love will never be taken away from you. No matter what Solomon did, you know, he never stopped loving him. Yeah, he punished him when he did wrong. But doesn't every good parent have consequences for their children to keep them in line, to show them the right path? Your house, your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. He promised that to David, his line will be forever. You know, Jesus came through David's line. So you have to realize, God searched far and wide, but couldn't find a righteous man. He even punishes Solomon, David's son. But again, God intervened on behalf of us. You know, his promise is like in Genesis when he clothed Adam. He provided a sacrifice that would provide a sacrifice now. He would provide it again. Now, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, the Torah, the law, the promises of God made flesh. And like we talk about, you know, God makes sacrifices in the Old Testament. He does this also in the New Testament. He sacrifices his own son. You know, we say, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means his promises is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? His promises. So if the Father promised Jesus, this is the time we celebrate it. This Christmas Day, we celebrate Jesus, that promise being fulfilled. Let's look at other promises God promises us. You know, for Christmas time, it isn't all sunshine and presents for some people. You know, some people know debts and some people, you know, are really struggling. But here are some promises. I was going to throw these out in rapid fire, but I just want to read them all out because I think they are important. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be the sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians. I can do all things through he who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Promise. There is therefore no condemnation to him who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made them free from the law of sin and death. Promise. The Lord shall fight for you. You need only be still. Promise. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do, promise, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray, the Father shall give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. May abide with you forever. That was a promise, and that was fulfilled as well. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all people, all people. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. A promise. On the mountain, this is a nice one. I really like this one. On the mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. It's a promise, you know? So if we celebrate Jesus tonight, let's celebrate all his promises. You know, Jesus was a promise that he said, you know, I glorify the Father. You know, Jesus' very name is a promise. Jesus means salvation, Yeshua. It means salvation, or some context, Yahweh saves. That's a promise that glorifies the Father. You know, and I can say all this stuff and it's all willy-nilly, but, you know, I know the promises in God for my life. You know, there was a time when I was a teenager and I struggled a lot, and my family went through a lot of stuff. And I thought I'd got over that, you know. I'm 22 now, I have a job, it's all good. But something came back into my life that just destroyed me. I found out some news that destroyed me. It was actually about my ma. You know, and I sat in my room then and I said, you know, if your name is Yahweh, save Jesus, then I cry out, oh, tears rolling down my face, save me. Nothing, heard nothing. Then I was in Clondalkin a few months later in church in Clondalkin. And he said to me, during worship, you cried out, and I will save you. You know, my mom didn't stop coming to church for a long while, but she's down there right now. You know? That's a promise. Noel just talked about those lads that came to Drimnagh. I was very like those lads. I was angry. I thought I was a gangster when I was a kid. You know, because this is where I came from. That was what people said about me. That's what my identity was. But the promise was that I'd be cleansed and that I'm a child of the Father in heaven. You know, that's a promise, guys. So, thanks for listening. Before I wrap up, I just want to say that I know people are going through some stuff at the moment. I know it's not always easy. But hold on to those promises. You know, let's glorify the Father this Christmas. You know, let's make Christmas about Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's give thanks to Jesus. Let's give thanks to Jesus. Let's give thanks for his promises. Let us not allow the thief to steal away the glory of God. Let nobody else take the number one spot this Christmas. Let's make a big deal out of Jesus this Christmas. You know, when we're in, let's get around Christmas, get around the crib, the manger, and tell our kids and loved ones how much we're grateful for the promises of God. You know, this Christmas, let's celebrate, let's remember why we celebrate the reasons, why we worship, because the promises of God has and will come to pass. Like, look at my life, look into your own life. Look into your own life, the promises that God has come true for you. And you know, if you can't see that, if you can't see any promises that came true for you in your life, just hold on to the fact that they will. You know, it says in Matthew, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not greater than those birds? The answer is yes. Of course you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a promise. So hold on to that promise now, guys. Hold on to those facts that were there. that you are fearfully, wonderfully made, that you are a son of heaven and a daughter of heaven. You are a citizen and heir to the heaven. This is all biblical. This is nothing's coming from me. This is all based with these facts that Jesus' love for you, he came down as a promise to be fulfilled, that he will, his kingdom will reign forever. Amen. Father, we love you, Lord. And we just want to celebrate. This is why we celebrate Christmas, Lord. That your promises are everlasting, Lord, in my life and in everyone's life here, Lord God. God, we just want to glorify you right now, Lord God. And Father, I just ask you to impart your Holy Spirit into everyone here, Lord. That those promises that they need to hear this Christmas, that you lock it onto them. That, Lord, when they need you, you remind them that they're fearfully, wonderfully made. That you will fight for them. That they can do all things in you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the kids. Lord, even them, that noise there, that's excitement, you know, for Christmas, Lord. And it's beautiful, Lord God. And we bless them, Lord. We just want to acknowledge you before them, Lord God, with the play, with this word, Lord. We just glorify your name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your promises are everlasting and they're here for us, Lord God. We praise your holy name and we just impart, you know, your Holy Spirit into these guys for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's his first time in front of all you adults. All them other people. Well done, Cain. Amen.